B-Pod Studios.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain and inform you in the afternoon. Felger and Maz. 95, the Sports Hub.
It's sharply, but a one-bound Sogard has it, and that will do it. Well, Toronto, rather surprisingly, comes in and wins the last two games, and they take the series 6-1. The final score here today, and the White Sox will be the next club in on Monday.
Hi there, it's Felger and Maz on a reentry Monday. We're going to start baseball. We have Big Jim Murray in the Maz chair. Hi, Jim.
Hi.
Matt McCarthy, baseball Matt McCarthy in the Murray chair. So it's a good point to start Red Sox.
I guess they're not back after all, huh?
Well, let me ask you. So the Blue Jays come in here and they take two out of three and they take the last two. Saturday was pretty ugly. Yesterday was pretty lifeless. How do you feel about your baseball team? Have you given up on your baseball team, Murray?
Yeah, I gave up on them after like 2 weeks into April.
And when they, you know, took two or three from Minnesota there and
it was nice.
A good week. Did you buy back in a little bit?
Maybe a little bit. That was their best, you know, series win of the season. And maybe I got a little too caught up in Maz actually believing in them after that series win. But no, those were good wins, and especially the bounce back after the 17-inning game. I was a little impressed, but I still never said that they're going to win the division. No, that's been over for pretty much since the first couple of weeks of the season.
So you've given up on the team. You've given up on the season.
Yeah, they could still get that wild card and squeak in.
Okay.
But they ain't winning the division. That ain't happening.
Okay, but have you given up on the team for the season?
Yeah, overall, yeah.
No, okay. McCarthy, have you given up on the Red Sox?
Yeah, I'm ready to give up on the Red Sox.
Seriously?
I'll put it to you that way. I hate this team, Mike.
Whoa,
I absolutely
why? How do you hate them?
Hate this team.
Why?
Because you know what? When you say, hey, we're back after lucking into a win, a series sweep of the Baltimore Orioles, and you have the gall and the balls to come out and say, we're back after you won 108 games last year. Come on.
Who are you talking about?
Christian Vasquez.
Okay.
But you don't think that comes from the manager and comes from everybody, that's a representation of how the team feels?
Yes.
You do think that way?
I do, yes.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, I think that is. I think Cora is a cocky guy, and I think the team sort of has this feeling like we're going to roll out of bed and be good, and that's how they open the year, that's for sure. And I don't know if they've been totally disabused of that. I don't think you're wrong to say that, you know, that's how the team, that reflects how the team feels. We're back, baby.
Yeah, and they're not.
Okay, but has that led you to give up on the team because they're annoying like that? Because, I mean, that's annoying. That's annoying to have a series win over freaking Baltimore and still be whatever they were at the time, 5, 6, 7 games out of first and say, we're back, baby. That's annoying. But does it cause you to give up on the team? Have you given up on the team, McCarthy?
Have I given up? I'm with Jim on this. I think they could be a wild card team, but I don't think that's good for the future of this team. So, no. So, yes, I guess I've given up on them winning the division, which is what matters the most to me.
This is all a setup for, guess who? Do you know who's given up on the Red Sox?
Who?
The beat guys. The beat guys. Some of them. I'll just lump them all together. Makes a stronger point. The beat guys. The guys that cover the team. The keepers of the gate. Wait, can I ask you something before I get started with this? What aliens invaded Pete Abraham's body?
No. He's like a completely different guy now.
Because overnight, Pete Abraham has become awesome.
He's been great the last month, really.
He's become awesome? I say overnight, right, meaning this season. Since he got the on baseball thing, he's been invaded by aliens, and it's made a world of difference. He's been awesome. He's done with the team. He's basically done with the team. Did you read his column today?
And he was one of the true gatekeepers for
this
quite a long time.
This is the keeper of the gate, baby. This is a guy, man. You look sideways at the Red Sox, and this is just what I hear on Twitter. You could tell me more, but
you say something bad about the Sox, it's like he'll unfollow, block. Like it's been like that for a while. And maybe someone mocked his sneakers. You know, there was always that story that he was always buying like new Jordans and stuff, almost in a way to try to like chum up towards the players. Maybe someone looked at him and was like, "All right, enough. Like you're one of them. We want nothing to do with you." And that's why he turned on him. Either way, I love it.
Oh, jeez. Whatever aliens invaded his body, take me to that planet. You guys have done a great job. Because Pete Abraham, overnight, has become awesome. He writes, based on what we have seen so far, there is little chance the Red Sox could win a best-of-five series against the Yankees or the Astros. Agree or disagree?
100% agree.
Totally agreed.
Okay.
I didn't need this weekend to feel that way.
He writes, their bullpen is not deep enough, and several important players, Mookie Betts, J.D. Martinez in particular, are not playing with the same flair and sense of purpose they showed a year ago. And you can tell I'm fired up, Murray, because it's actually in the paper.
Yep.
I have to hold the newspaper. I don't have to read it off a screen.
It's not real until those fingers get ink stained.
Oh, it's
so
good.
This is your dream right here.
This is an old school baseball column. He writes, even fiery Chris Sale has been meandering along. So this is all about, you know, what kind of team are they, and then how should they approach the deadline? He says the Red Sox are what they're 42-37. They're five games over. What their 42-37 record says they are. A decent team, but not a good one. He says the solution most years would be to make a trade to improve the bullpen and give the team a needed shot of energy. But the Sox are already pushing up against the highest threshold of the luxury tax, and the penalties become even more significant. They also should be hoarding prospects in their fallow farm system, not shedding more. So here's a thought, writes Pete Abe. Go in the other direction and sell.
I love it.
Sell?
Yeah.
You're selling?
Yeah, you're not going to win a World Series this year. I think that was pretty much evident.
How can you say that?
They're not going to, Mike. They're not.
How can you say that?
They're not elite like the Yankees in Houston are, at least in the American League. They're not.
Here's the weird thing. While I think aliens have invaded Pete Abraham's body and they've made him awesome, I disagree with them on this. You're going to give up on the season? I think they're one game out of the wild card. I think they're one game out.
Yeah.
So they're basically in the playoffs, and you're selling? That's it? I don't get that. I don't get why you would do that. Why wouldn't you give this group another crack at it?
Well, more looking at Mookie Betts, they know his number. They're not going to meet it. So
he's got a year and a half left.
So if they're going to try to consider to sell on him, why wait until the winter? I think you try to move on from him now. I think you try to shop guys like Christian Vasquez, who's never going to be looked at higher in terms of his value, the way that he's knocking the ball out of the park. Maybe Eduardo Rodriguez. I think that they should. Yeah, they're not winning a World Series this year. I felt this way for a while. So if you can sell and actually replenish that farm system, which has been decimated by Dave Dombrowski, you do it.
So all of a sudden, that's it?
Yep.
You're gonna reset.
Yeah.
After you won a championship last year and are in the playoffs the next year, that's it. Like, this I don't get. Again, I love the take, and I loved his column. I just think this is crazy. And he admits this almost certainly won't happen because the Red Sox are almost never sellers. 2014 was really the last and the only great example of them doing it. So this most certainly won't happen. But, he says, if the Sox are still running in place 3 weeks from now, why waste the opportunity? Shed some salary, gain some prospects, and accomplish something productive this season instead of just missing the playoffs or getting kicked out early. He says the options are many. This is where it really gets good. The options are many. Offer J.D. Martinez more guaranteed salary to void his opt-out clause after the season. If he refuses, trade him. The Astros or Rays could use a hitter. Maybe just trade him anyway, writes Pete Abe. Vicious. Martinez is going to be 32 in August and can't play the outfield very often because of back injuries. So, J.D. Martinez, trade him. Offer him a contract. If he refuses, you trade him. Maybe just trade him anyway, says Pete Abe.
I think that's the harsh reality with some of these guys like Martinez and like Mookie Betts. With him getting now into his, not mid-30s, but he'll be, 32, he said, next month? These back issues aren't going to go away. You know how that is with professional athletes. You have back issues, you will have them forever.
Next, offer Betts an extension. And if he turns it down, trade him.
I love it.
The Sox could restock their system with this deal, and every team in baseball would have interest to some degree. He has more trade value now than he would after the season. Okay, next. Trade Rick Porcello before he hits free agency. The right-hander was eager to sign an extension in spring training, and the Sox never made him an offer. If there are no plans to bring him back, make a deal. Even a B-plus prospect is better than nothing. He continues. See what you can get for Mitch Moreland once he returns from the injured list. There's little chance he returns next season as a free agent. Playoff-bound teams would surely find value in a steady defender with power who has 48 games of postseason experience. He says, even if Moreland returns, only a long-shot prospect, that's better than nothing. Trade him. Pete Abe continues. Everyone, he's whacking everybody. Be open-minded. Eduardo Rodriguez is under team control for another 2.5 years. See what the market is for him. Make Jackie Bradley Jr. an extension offer. And offer him up if he declines. Trade him. Here you go. How about this one? Put the entire bullpen on the market. Every one of them.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell you get any kind of return for any of those stiffs.
It's like the last scene of The Godfather. Seriously. Make Martinez an offer for more guaranteed money if he to void his opt-out, and if he refuses, trade him. Maybe just trade him anyway. Offer Betts an extension. If he turns it down, trade him. Trade Rick Porcello now. See what you can get for Mitch Moreland. Be open-minded about Eduardo Rodriguez. Make Bradley an offer. If he refuses, trade him. Put the entire bullpen on the market, every one of them.
Guys like Hembry and Barnes, you might be able to get some kind of decent return. I mean, beyond that, I don't know who the hell would want some of those stiffs.
He says the Sox are wearing out Matt Barnes, Brendan Workman, Ryan Brazier, and Heath Hembry.
It's true. Barnes can't pitch back-to-back nights, which is ridiculous for any reliever in Major League Baseball, but that's the truth with that guy.
He says, let some other team deal with the aftermath. Okay, here's what I just disagree with this. Do I like their chances? I don't love them. I have eyes, and it feels like they're having that hangover kind of year, and they can't reach the same pitch and the same. I get it. Like, if they were playing the Yankees tonight, starting in a 5-game series of the Astros, I'd pick the other team. But that means I give up in July when they made the playoffs, what was it, 2 years prior, then won the World Series, and they're in the playoffs again. You're in the middle of this run. I do just the opposite. Because the reset's coming. It's going to come in a couple of years. So I maximize now. And even if that means they don't add, I put Evaldi in the bullpen and I see if these guys, I mean, all you got to do is win the play-in game against Tampa and now you're in a series. I'll take my chances.
No, I'm good. No.
I'll take my chances.
You have to look at the future. And in particular, two guys, Betts and J.D. Martinez. Martinez is more of an injury-related thing, I think, with a back. And Betts, more than anything else, and Chris Gasper, who was in on Friday on his normal spot, brought it up. Just looking at him, does he look like he's having a good time out there?
No, and I this is one of these guys, maybe we'll find out like Kyrie Irving after the fact when everyone gets to tell the truth that he didn't like it here and wasn't long for here and all this. You still have him for a year and a half.
Yeah.
You still have him for two more World Series runs, so treat him like a rental. Treat, you know, whatever prospects you were get, just pretend that's the cost to keep him for the next 2 years and go on two more runs. He's going to bang it, and I know his numbers are down, but if he wants to, if you know, he really wants the big money, right?
Yeah.
So I think you're in a great spot to get the most out of him for the next two falls, and you go for it. I do just the opposite if I'm the Red Sox. And again, I don't.
If he keeps moping along and he ultimately ends up as Andrew McCutcheon, you can't let this thing go to free agency and get nothing back but a draft pick.
Why?
No, you can't.
Like, why?
I'm with Pete on this. Watch how this plays out over the next 3 weeks. Assess this. And if he's still moping along, you trade him. Offer the extension. He'll say no to it. We already know that. And then you trade him.
I'm just stunned that Jason Mastronato in the Herald wrote something about Betts over the weekend. I'll get to as well. He's like the same thing. Like, trade him. Well, you get one of the best players in baseball for the next year and a half.
Is he that, though? I think we might have been wrong about this guy.
No, I still think he's one of the, I said one of, I'm not telling you that he's, you know, Mike Trout or Christian Yelich. I'm not telling you he's the best. I'm telling you he's one of the best. He's a top 10 player in the game. Is that fair, McCarthy?
Yes, absolutely. But are you going to pay him? And the Red Sox know.
So no. Okay, but how about you rent him for the next year and a half and go on two runs?
No, maximize
his
value.
Why are you shaking your heads, too? I don't get this. We're already quitting on the team?
Yes, because here's the thing. If they were showing that they were the team that they were last year, then you invest and then you make another run at it. There is a reckoning coming with the Red Sox in the next year to year and a half.
Next two years, right.
Yes, absolutely.
So
you
win
have
now.
But you have an opportunity to reset now. Do what the Yankees did in 2016. Trade these guys, get Gleyber Torres, get, you know, top prospects in the game, and reset and be a force to be reckoned with for the next decade. Don't let this opportunity go by the wayside for a team that's floundering.
Wow.
You can see it. I can see it. Murray can see it. This team is floundering. They are not worth investing in.
They're contending.
In the American League. They're in the middle.
Well, that's where they happen to be. We're not going to switch leagues. That's where they are.
They're fake. That's the point.
They're the Rangers and the A's.
Wait, you agree with us, though, right?
No, in terms of what?
I need a clear take from you. Where do you stand on the Red Sox? Are you in or out?
I'm not giving up.
Okay.
But there's a difference to say that if the series started tonight, I think they would lose to the Yankees or the Astros. But does that mean I sell?
Yes.
No.
Yeah.
No.
You sell because John Henry has stated publicly that his philosophy is he either wins a World Series or he goes to the bottom.
But you can't.
So you know what? Trade Mookie Betts. Trade J.D. Martinez. See if you can get something for David Price. See if you can sell Chris Sale and start over.
I expect that from you people. From you, Stu, and you. And I expect people from this in this room.
It's a take.
I expect that from you. I don't expect that from the keeper of the gate. The gatekeeper. Sell them all. Fire them all. It's like the last scene of The Godfather. I'm serious. He's whacking everybody. And I'm stunned that you're in contention the year after winning it all, and that's it? Please. How do you folks feel about it? 617-779-0985.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
B.O.B. Boob. Oh, my God. Isn't that Bob?
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Matt Barr.
You again?
Colton Brewer.
Who?
Ryan Brazier.
Brazier.
And those other guys.
It's back for 2019. An all-new Wheel of Gutless Bums. Red Sox manager Alex Cora is faced with a tough decision. Who to use in a high-leverage situation late in the game. Now, let's spin the wheel.
Barr. Brazier.
Brewer.
Thornburg.
Johnson. Today's Gutless Bum is...
down the right field line.
Oh, my God.
Way deep into the corner. That ball's gone. Again to center field. Uh-huh. This one's going to keep on sailing up onto the batter's eye, and that is gone. Back-to-back home runs for Toronto to make it 6-4. Swung on a miss, but here comes the run. It gets underneath Vasquez. The run scores. Guerrero down a second. That'll make it 6-5. Off the glove. It's into right field. Here comes Hernandez. Betts scoops. He will not fire, and this ball game is tied. And that's going to force in a run.
That is brutal.
Here comes Biggio in to score. Now 3-2 on Vlad Guerrero Jr. And he misses downstairs, and another walk. And another run is forced in.
That's four straight walks.
Yeah, this is as bad as it gets.
Look, I'm not telling you it's pretty. I'm not telling you you should feel good about the team. I'm just saying, now you dismantle?
That on Saturday was something. Oh. I mean, you hear those boos. That actually makes me feel good.
Like, Saturday was unbelievable.
It makes me feel good as an old, because I remember how it used to be, like how salty Red Sox fans could be when it all starts going bad. And those were lustful boos, and rightfully so on Saturday. What a disaster.
Schwerin?
Yeah, a couple of home runs from Schwerin.
Walden, Barnes, walk, wild pitch, walk, walk, wild pitch, walk, walk, walk. Home run. It was unbelievable. Oh, my God.
To a bad Blue Jays team.
So I'm not telling you it's pretty. So you have a bad weekend against Toronto? I was like, sell them all? You're in the middle of this run.
Yeah, but I think this weekend to me, and I think a lot of Red Sox fans that have been paying attention, is that it was kind of a microcosm of how it's been since the beginning of the year, Mike. The bullpen's been a complete disaster, and they've done nothing to fix it. And, you know, they're just trying to play the hand that they're dealt there, at least Alex Cora is. And they've been inconsistent. Every time you think, like, oh, they are back. Like, when they take the series from the Minnesota Twins, it's a good team.
Could they
follow
just
it
be
with
having
a disastrous series against Toronto?
Is it possible they won the World Series and are having a funky first half, as tends to happen? Is it possible? And that they're still really good. I'm going to be right there.
Have they shown you anything to make you believe that? Because last year is last year. And we've criticized Alex Cora for that. But have they shown you anything in 2019?
Just the roster.
To make you...
just the roster. As good of an offensive lineup as there is. Maybe not number one, but certainly up there. And then a starting pitching staff that, if they have their head screwed on straight, is pretty ballsy. And I'll take my chances with that. I'm not going to blow the thing up. I want to see what they can do. I want to see what they can do. I don't know. I feel like I'd rather maximize Mookie Betts versus trading him for what?
Yeah, he's just
top prospects.
He feels like
good
a guy
luck.
That's going through the motions.
Is that Dave Dombrowski's strength? Trading for those guys, or is it making the opposite kind of deal? Because
yeah,
I feel like his whole career he's done the opposite kind of deal. Well, your thoughts, folks. Are you giving up? Are you selling? As some of these beat guys are? Michael in Tennessee. Go ahead, Mike, lead us off.
Hey, love you guys. Love the show. But I'm gonna call you out a little bit on this, because at least the take I've heard you say, Murrow's been banging the drum about win now with the Pats, give Tom everything you can. And you've kind of pushed back on that. Now here you are, the window's closing with the Red Sox.
Oh, different
Everybody's
sports.
Agreed. Cruz Maserati has said it. You got a year and a half before this window closes. Start filling the coffers again to extend the potential winning.
Okay, you can't compare the two. If you're okay taking a step back to build for the long haul, then that's fine. I mean, that's not... but don't compare it to the Brady situation. You got a 42-year-old quarterback, and if you don't have a quarterback, you don't have a team. So that's just, it's different. So please don't compare the two. I just think you were all set up for this. You were set up for this window, and you're in the middle of it. And you're going to bail out in the middle of the window when you're still contending? You haven't fallen to last like you did the last time you won the World Series. You're contending. You're right there. You're a game out of the wild card. You're going to, if you just avoid complete disaster, you're going to be in the wild card. Can you beat the Rays one game?
No. I wouldn't pick them in that game. No, I would not.
I'm taking the Rays.
Cash is going to do a bullpen game and then you're out.
Why would he not start Snell? Why would he not start his guy?
Because he'll be injured by then.
What's that?
Snell will be injured by then.
McCarthy?
You'll start Glasnow. I mean, guy was going to win the Cy Young before he got hurt. You want to go up against Snell or Glasnow or Chirinos, who has owned you this year, and then that bullpen? I'm sorry. I don't like their chances in a one-game playoff against the Rays.
I'll take
which
my
tells
chances.
You everything you need to know about the 2019 Red Sox. You can rebuild on the fly, Mike. You can. If you trade off Martinez and Betts and Porcello, you're the Boston Red Sox. You can spend all kinds of money this offseason. You can get top prospects, and then all of a sudden, you're set up for the next 5 to 10 years. This is an about the 1 year window. You can instantly give yourself a 5 to 10 year window if you do it right. Sell now. It makes all the sense in the world.
Because you've given up on the team. Yes.
I think it's pretty telling though that you're getting this kind of stuff, you know, from the likes of Pete Abraham and the Jason Mastronato column about Mookie Betts you're gonna get to. These are guys around the team every single day, Mike. They smell something. Mm-hmm. There's a funk emanating from this year's team, and they realize what the hell's going on. This isn't just us in front of microphones, like speculating, like watching, you know, games. So it's not like we're sitting there for 162. These guys have been there since spring training. They know that something's really wrong with this team.
Josh and Gloucester, your thoughts?
Yeah, no, I'm with you on this. I think the rest of them are being a little over optimistic as far as what these guys can get for return in the middle of the year. If we had really good trade chips and could accelerate a rebuild, and I believed in that, I'd say maybe sell and, you know, build up more for the future. But it's not that makes us a middler, I think. If we try to move off those pieces we have, just don't have a lot of value anymore. They're close to being at the end of their contracts and or they make a lot of money. I say go for it the next year or two, and then we can have a few years where we step back, but I'm not ready yet.
So debatable. I mean, I think Betts would get you something really good. I don't know about Martinez. He can opt out at the end of the year, and for the same reason you don't want to re-sign him, McCarthy. You know, for crying out loud, the guy sat on the market till the first week of spring training a couple of years ago. Now you have to pay him even more? I mean, if people weren't lining up then, why are they going to line up now?
Yeah, but is it better than letting him walk for nothing?
Yeah, so you've rented him. You got a good deal out of them.
See, I'd rather maximize the asset. But again, that's because I don't believe
I'd rather go on another run.
But I don't think this team is capable of going on that run. I just don't.
I think that's crazy. Of course, they're capable of it.
They can make the playoffs, but what does that mean in the American League?
It doesn't look right now, but they're definitely capable of going on a run. Definitely capable. It's the same team as last year, minus a closer, which is not a small deal. I'm not ignoring that. I'm just telling you, they are absolutely capable of going on a run. Rich in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Rich.
Hey, how are you guys? Mike, I agree with you totally. I think, you know, they shouldn't sell right now. They should just go for it and see what's going on. Play it out. Get into the wild card. I mean, really? You know, I mean, put JD, if he can't play in the outfield, work him on a first base, you know. Maybe get rid of Pierce or Moreland. They need a closer. They should have.
They need a closer, but you know what? Here comes Nathan Eovaldi, and that's where I would put him. And I would, and not even that traditional closer, but that sort of rover role where he becomes that guy out there. That's what I would do with him.
And it sounds like they don't want to do that, though. They pretty much have him slotted in the rotation, which also needs some help right now.
I think that's a mistake. So their rotation is not perfect. Whose is? If we get into the playoffs and it's Sale, Price, Porcello, I'll take my chances there. I'll take my chances against the Yankees starting three. I will, if it just comes down to that. I'll still take my chances there. Oh,
Porcello stinks this year. He really, he's
okay, he's pitching for a contract. It'll be his last run. I don't know. I'd still like his makeup. Howard and Amesbury, should the Red Sox be selling?
Hey, Mike, how you doing, guys? Mike, you know, I kind of agree with Murray and Stu and those guys, Christian, because you make some good points, but I'm not into mediocrity. And the Red Sox look like they're just trending to be mediocre this year. And I don't want a team that's going to just get into the wild card and maybe lose to Tampa Bay. Sale's having a tough year. I don't know. It's the sell. I mean, it's just been a hard year because they can't get runs for the guy. But
okay, but hold on. Here's where it's confusing, Howard. Are they playing mediocre or are they mediocre? Is that a mediocre roster?
It's not a mediocre roster, but I still think they're playing mediocre.
Yes, okay. So that changes how you play. That's my whole point. If they had a mediocre roster, if they had a middling roster, McCarthy, like they did in 2014, I'd say, yeah, sure, sell. That was a fake championship. That was lightning in a bottle. You're not really that good. Their roster is still really, really good. They're just not playing well. So I don't sell on a team that has all the pieces. Then they don't have all the pieces. That has enough pieces to go on a run. I don't sell on that team. I sell on a team that might be overrated or is not as talented as you think that it is. That's a team I sell on. I'm not selling on this team.
I think you're overrating this team, though, because if you're going to buy, you need bullpen help. What, two bullpen arms? You need a first baseman because Pearson Moreland.
I can get away with one because Evaldi should go out there.
Okay, so but then if you put Evaldi out there, who are you putting in your rotation to get you there? Because you're trotting out the likes of Brian Johnson and
Brian
Josh
Johnson.
Smith and Ryan Weber every 5 days. That's one of the many reasons why you're 8 games out of first place. So if you move Evaldi there now all of a sudden you need help in your starting rotation. They don't have enough depth there right now.
I've given up on catching the division. I'm giving away the division. I'm beating the Rays in one game behind Chris Sale or David Price.
Against Glasnow or Snell?
That's what I'm doing.
With a better bullpen than you?
And a 10 times better lineup. Okay, yes, that's what I'm doing. I'm beating the freaking Rays in one game.
On the road at the Trop, because
on the road at the Trop. You can't win there. It's such an intimidating place.
Couldn't do it in 2008.
This season, you're 4-5 against the Rays, minus 12 in run differential.
Yeah, you had some bad records against some playoff teams last year as well at this stage. And how did that work out?
And last year, you were beating up on bad baseball teams.
Jimmy, your clock says it's the update. We'll go to McCarthy now and then come back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
At the end of your ride home,
get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mez, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You look at this weekend, and it showed. You know, we still won on Friday. We had a lead on Saturday, and they stole the game, and today we didn't show up, you know. And it's disappointing. It's disappointing, you know. We expect better things out of the group, you know, and today, I think all around, it wasn't a good game.
Alex Cora says they didn't show up yesterday. They didn't. And their bullpen blows. Got it. Does that mean they're not in contention? They're in contention. They're in the middle of this run. They're going to make the playoffs, right? They're game out right now. But
yeah, that's because everyone else sucks.
So fine. Well, that's the way. That's the pool they're swimming in. All right? So they're going to make the playoffs for the fourth straight year. You're coming off a championship and you're contending again and your roster is still really good. And you're going to sell? I don't get it. I mean, I get it. I just disagree. I totally get it. So I totally understand the mindset. I just think that's pulling the cord too soon. This is what you've built for. So you're having a first half that isn't so great. The roster's still really damn good. Now we're trading Mookie Betts, your best player. Pete Abe is firing everybody. Pete Abe, again, is like the last scene of The Godfather. He's trading everyone.
He renounces Satan and all his sins.
It's unbelievable what happened to that guy. He's gotten so awesome. I'm talking about Pete Abe. Jason Mastrodonato in the Herald does something similar in the Herald over the weekend. He says, trade deadline, you know, buyers or sellers. He says, this brings us to Mookie Betts. He says, Betts, and this is good for McCarthy because I think he nerds out at stuff like this. Betts entered Friday with underwhelming numbers on the season. Even on Fangraphs, which tends to give him a lot of love thanks in large part to his outstanding defense in right field, even Fangraphs ranked Betts 11th in the American League with a 2.4 WAR. McCarthy, what does that mean?
I have no idea, because WAR, what is it good for? I'm one of these baseball nerds, Mike, but I do not get into the sabermetrics.
Oh,
you can
God.
Take that and you can shove it.
Thank you.
If I need a degree from MIT to understand what you're saying, I don't want to understand what you're saying.
I just hate the number. What does that mean, 2.4? I know what a 300 batting average is, or a 1,000 OPS, or
it's all a
2.5 ERA. Stands. Like, I get all those things. What does that mean, 2.4 WAR? God, I hate that. But anyway. He's 11th in the WAR stat after being, 1 or 2 last year, right?
Yeah, he was probably the best.
But nearly all of his counting stats, is what we now call them, his counting stats are down.
Real stats?
Yes, his stats are down significantly, including batting average. He's down to .266. He was at .364 last year on base percentage, OPS, home runs, etc. He says Betts is far from an MVP. He's at far from an MVP pace this time around. But one of his teammates is. And here's where it gets most interesting for long-term planning. Both Xander Bogaerts, 3.5 WAR, and Rafi Devers are arguably having better seasons than Betts. Bogarts has statistically been the best player on the team and ranks second in the AL in WAR only to Trout. And both Bogarts and Devers are under team control for the next 5 years, including this one. With these two having breakout seasons, that put them each among the top 10 position players in the league. Do the Red Sox have more flexibility to listen to trade proposals for Betts if the team doesn't look like a contender by July 31st? So now we're trading Betts. Do they look like a contender?
No.
No.
Yes!
No. No.
Yes!
No, they don't.
They don't.
Contender! You guys are mixing up the words. He didn't say I'm not saying favorite.
No, I'm a realist. I know.
So there's a difference between favorite and contender. Are they a contender?
By default, could they make the playoffs? Yes.
Yes, by the definition of the word, they are.
That's what I'm asking. Are they a contender?
Yeah, but in Mike, reality, they're not.
Yes.
Do contenders have losing records on their home field?
This is another reason why, too, I was going to bring this up. This is another reason why you should stick with the Red Sox. Do you know folks, they are underwater at Fenway? They're under 500. They're 18-19. I think they've only won something like two series at home this whole season, something crazy like that. Isn't that more reason to buy in? In that, are they going to go the whole year underwater at Fenway Park?
Yes.
No, it's more reason to sell.
No.
Yeah.
Just, more reason to sell. It's just the opposite. It's more reason to say it's actually going to turn around because they're not going to be under 500 at home. Are they a contender, Murray?
By the definition of the word,
well,
yes.
That's the word we're using, yes. Yeah.
But
they are a contender.
In reality, they're not, though. In my world, they're not.
Just
and
because
I want the chaos of blowing it up.
Because,
blow it up.
Because it doesn't look good right now. But the whole point is, what's your ceiling? What can you be? And when you've built for this, you've got Sale, and I'm just, you know, loosely, okay? Even though they're not, work with me. Sale in his prime, Price in his prime, those guys are right there. That's what you paid them for right now, for this run right now. So those guys aren't going to be this in two. I mean, they're barely this now. That's why I had to qualify it. In 2-3 years, what are you going to get out of both those guys? If you're going to sort of dial it back and sort of build for the future, what are they going to be? Then you all have to replace the last three guys on the rotation. I mean, no, you're built for now. So stick with it and win now. In fact, I go the opposite direction. You know who I would consider selling? I know Maz has brought this up, and I agree with him. And that's Chavis. What is he?
Oh, yeah, no, move on from him.
What happens when the steroids run out?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, does he still have the wind at his sails from being a PED guy? And is that ultimately going to peter out? I mean, that's what I would be asking. And I'd take a hard look at that. Sell high on that guy, add to this team, and maximize this window, because that's what you built yourself for.
I just think the thing with Betts to look at between him and Xander Bogaerts, too, the thing that's most impressive about Bogaerts in the season he's having is he did it after he got paid. I would think, if you're Mookie Betts, that's someone that would... Okay, I didn't like the money that was offered to me by my team. I've got something to prove here. I want to make the money that Mike Trout is making. I'm going to have a phenomenal season, much like my MVP season last year. And he's done the complete opposite.
And
he's
by the
gone
way,
the other way.
McCarthy's worried about going to the Trop. Ooh, in front of those 7,000 fans, half of them are yours.
Do you believe that good pitching typically beats good
yes.
hitting?
Hold on. You're only four games behind Tampa. So can you? I'll give you the division. That's eight. Can you catch Tampa for the first wild card and host that game?
Is your pitching better than their pitching?
Absolutely not.
They have better pitching than you. That's why I'll take Tampa
okay,
Bay.
Okay, sure. I mean, yes. In a series, yes. If it's a one-off game and it's Sale or Price?
Against Glasnow or Snell? I mean, I would take Tyler Glasnow over Chris Sale right now.
Okay. When you get there, with the money on the table in the playoffs, a one-game elimination take-all national team, that game.
Yeah, I'm taking the race.
That game. You're going to take Snell, Glasnow, one of those guys over Sale or Price.
Better pitching, better manager. I'll take the team with that. That's the Tampa Bay race.
Wow. All of a sudden, they have a better manager.
Kevin Cash is a better in-game manager than Alex Cora. I mean, is Alex Cora this great mastermind in-game manager? I don't think so. Kevin Cash has done wonders with that team down there.
You people, you are so negative. Long commercial-free segment is next.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Listening to Felger and Mass.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Nunez. Crowd's trying to jump into it, and he struck him out. And look at the reaction.
Oh, please.
Looking at the Red Sox dugout and yelling out as he skips into the dugout. 5-0 Toronto.
Real quick sidebar, Marcus Stroman, the starter there for Toronto. Kind of demonstrative on the mound.
I love it.
You heard it there. If you listen to that, he actually, that was... He was shouting into the Red Sox dugout.
And he struck him out. And look at the reaction. Uh-oh.
I love it. Baseball needs more of Marcus Stroman and that type of flair.
And of all people, play it again, Jimmy.
And he struck him out. And look at the reaction.
Oh, please.
And of all people, Eck. Of all people, Eck with the tisk, tisk, tisk. I love Eckersley like everybody else.
Yeah.
But give me a break, dude. I'm old enough to remember when you played.
Right. So same here. And Dennis Eckersley was very demonstrative on the mound. And I love him, but this kind of bummed me out. I was like, oh, come on. Don't be another one of these whiny baseball nanas, Eck. Like, you were one of these type of guys.
Well, they
got fired up.
So that was the last of the sixth. I think they pick it up in the bottom of the inning. Here you go.
That last pitch. Yeah. Big screen toward the Red Sox dugout, and then takes off to his dugout. Happy that he pitched well today. I don't know, man. If he's turning around to his dugout and screaming, I could take it, you know. But when he's turning around to the opposing dugout,
that's tired.
Does he do that to every opponent if he has that kind of game?
I don't know. I mean, I've said before, he's an excitable guy. He's a competitive guy. I can't imagine the Red Sox are the only team that he does it to. I mean, I don't see him. I don't watch him on TV a lot and see him pitched against other clubs, but I know there's a lot goes on between him and the Red Sox dugout all the time.
Yeah, I think he probably does it to a lot of teams, but... Yeah.
I think there's something especially there with the Red Sox.
But he's got a little shimmy he does when he punches guys out, and he's got a little dog in him. He really got a lot of showman in him, whatever you want to call it.
He's also a very talented pitcher.
Yeah, a very emotional kid, probably. Yeah.
He's probably a guy that was on your club, you'd love him. But when you see stuff like that, it kind of really takes you off.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. You wonder why your numbers are down, baseball? You want to know why you're pushing away fans and people don't understand your game or don't want to understand your game? Because you have nanas whining about this. No, I don't like that. Tisk, tisk. A guy got excited because he did something great, and they want to stop that. More guys like him, the better. I loved this. And then people get mad about it, too. Like, I enjoy that aspect of it. Like, oh, stop it, you babies. Oh, because that's not the way the game is played. And again, you wonder why your numbers are down, why you can't fill some of these stadiums through Major League Baseball. It's because of the antiquated attitudes against guys like that. Like, it makes no sense to me.
So the part that bothers me is just Eck, because he was very demonstrative on the mound.
Yeah.
He was a gunslinger up there, and he'd stare you down. And, you know, I can't remember any video that he would ever do it, but I, like, in my mind's eye, I want to feel like he was like blowing smoke off his fingers. Like, he was that kind of guy on the mound. He never actually did that.
I remember fist pumps and things of that nature.
He was very demonstrative. He was.
Before his no-hitter, he told the guy to get the F in the box before he struck him out. I mean, that's who he was. This is in the 70s back then.
So now he's doing, and I feel he's just doing it because Alex Cora and the Red Sox have a problem with Marcus Stroman, and he's doing the team broadcaster thing, which you know I just hate. But Cora's had a thing with Stroman in the past.
Yeah,
right.
So this all started back in Toronto this year when Stroman, get this, guys, this is criminal, he quick-pitched Michael Chavis. Red Sox had a big problem with that. After the game, they were yelling at him and everything. After the game, Cora said this about Stroman. It's the same thing with him every day. He competes a certain way, and people don't like it. It seems like whenever a team comes in, somebody screams at him, I don't know, that's just the way he acts. So they got into a whole social media thing. This is personal between the Red Sox and Stroman.
Oh, no. So this is good. So Stroman...
he hates him.
So people were putting up, I guess, I don't know, maybe you can fill me in, but people were putting up videos of Eck or, past stories of Eck doing the same stuff on the mound. And Stroman, of course, retweeted that, calling Dennis Eckersley a hypocrite again. When Twitter users began to weigh in, showing video of Eckersley's celebrations, drawing the ire of opponents, Stroman retweeted them, and he added, hypocrite. And so the Red Sox really weren't chirping other than the broadcasters last night. So that's the team broadcasters sort of picking up the water of the team, which always sort of rubs me the wrong way. But, really, of all people, Eckersley?
Yeah. And then the team, too, with Alex Cora, going back to when Stroman owned them in Toronto. Yep. If you don't like it, I don't know. Well, for one, like yesterday's game, how about show up for the first place? And don't let him shove the bats down your throats. That's all. Like, that's how you get him back. If you don't want him being demonstrative on the mound, get hits. That's all. Pretty simple.
How often have we heard here in the Patriots context? Well, then stop him. you know?
Yeah.
Okay, then hit him, you know, meaning have some better at-bats. If you don't want him shouting into your dugout, quit striking out against him. But either way, so there's that little sidelight. We can continue with that. Your thoughts on all these guys want to sell on the Red Sox all of a sudden. They're in contention for their fourth straight playoff berth, coming off a World Series championship, still with one of the best rosters in baseball. I said one of. And all these guys want to sell, including Pete Abe. Alex in New Hampshire, your thoughts?
I agree with you, Felger, that they should not sell and keep like doing well or doing good and like for, not for the future. Like the time is now to win.
I mean, this is what they built for Allen. This is what they built for. They built for this window with those pitch specifically. You look at your payroll. Look at how you're paying Chris Sale, how you're paying David Price, and how you're paying these guys. This is what they're there for. And you've got 1 year left of Rick Porcello, who I still like his makeup, almost better than his stuff. But I still like my chances with Porcello. He's going into a walk year. It really, I mean, he can really make himself some money on a good run. And that's how you're built. You put Eovaldi back in the bullpen. If I'm trading anyone, I'm not selling. I'm selling Chavis to add to this team and maximize this window because that's what they're built for. That's what I'm doing. And more than anything, I'm just being patient for them to turn it around. They're not going to have a losing record at Fenway at the end of the year. They're not. Don't tell me that.
But you're acting like if they sell now, that dooms them for the next 5 years. No, you sell now so you can rebuild instantly on the fly. You're the Boston Red Sox. If you add legitimate top prospects by selling J.D. Martinez and Rick Porcello and, hell, even Mookie Betts if you're not going to pay him, all of a sudden you can go out next offseason, spend all the money you have, and do exactly what the Yankees did in 2016. Get Gleyber Torres, get top prospects, sink a bunch of money in, and now you're in it for the next decade. That's what the Red Sox can do. You say they have a one-year window, Mike, which is true.
No,
I'd rather
two.
Them have a 10-year window. Have a 10-year window.
Two more runs, and then we'll see. And I'm still not. I mean, they've still signed up, so maybe you lose Betts in 2 years.
And you get nothing but a draft pick in return ultimately for him. Like, that is, you can't let that happen.
No, when what you've gotten from him is five or six amazing MVP caliber years. That's not a loss. That's what you've...
It ain't an MVP caliber year this year.
That's what you draft and develop for. Okay, so for near... I mean, you get that kind of production from when you make the playoffs every year and contend every year. That's the deal.
They assess this over the next month, and if they feel he's Andrew McCutchen 2.0, who had the one fluky MVP year and then has devolved since, I think you've got
to... Okay, has he had one fluky MVP-type year?
I mean, the year prior was good, not great.
And then the one before that was really good, wasn't it?
2016 was awesome.
Right.
Yeah, but he's been on and off. So you need to decide, is this the guy that we're spending $375 million on?
And
if you say yes, then you pay him. If you say no, then you trade him.
No.
It's not that hard.
Why can't you take advantage of him for two more years?
Because you're not going to win a World Series this year. That's the thing.
So you say that on June, we're not even in July. 24th. I almost said July. On June 24th, you know that.
They are not winning the World Series this year.
You don't think they are?
No, they're not.
Do they have a roster that is capable of winning a World Series?
As currently constructed,
you
no.
You answer the question.
No.
The witnesses
no, they don't.
Answer the question.
They don't. They need a closer. They need a first baseman. They need a second baseman. They need a starting
How
pitcher if you're moving
the ball. How were their first and second baseman last year?
I mean, they got a lot of production.
It was
production,
the same collection
whole...
of crap that they had last year. It was the same thing.
Yeah, you don't have Steve Pierce giving you what he gave you last year. You've got a lot of things to add to this team. As of right now, Mike, no.
I think the difference is Kimbrel winning roster. I think the difference is Kimbrel. You don't have Kimbrel.
You add one closer and all of a sudden you're better?
Yeah. Mm-hmm,
really?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yes, that's the way it works. You have the most blown saves in the American League or up there, right? Top three in blown saves?
I think it's the Mets in the National League and then the Red Sox. And Mets.
Yeah, I think a closer helps that blown save thing.
Yeah, and then you still need a starting pitcher and a first baseman and a second baseman. You got a lot to add.
I don't know if you need a starting pitcher. Sale, Price, Porcello? I'll take my chances there. And Eovaldi either in the pen or in the starting rotation? I like that. I like that pretty good, actually.
So you need two pitchers, depending on where you're putting Eovaldi.
Okay, Eovaldi's one of them. And I'm trading Chavis, the steroid guy, for the other pitcher.
So then you definitely need the first baseman.
Notice I'm not doing this nonsense with Steven Wright like the team's doing. Like that makes me want to disown the Red
Sox.
He's
available Tuesday, I believe.
When I hear Dombrowski and these guys say that Steven Wright's going to be... Now, that's silly. Eovaldi, I think you have a right to say if he comes back, he's got the makeup and the stuff to be a real factor wherever they put him.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.